the manufacturing basis for products in the world has changed. It's shifted to new countries that do not have national bans, that do not have the laws in place to prevent asbestos use. And of course, now we're receiving those products as they come across to the Pacific, to Australia, to New Zealand and elsewhere in the world. I think the countries that enacted asbestos bans, you know, they did, most of them did so some time ago when asbestos was seen as a current issue, not a legacy issue. But I think the urgency for doing that, you know, stopped because people were under the belief that that asbestos was no longer coming in new products. So the game's changed a bit. And so the asbestos regional strategy we have now that only focused on identifying and gradually removing legacy waste from the 70s and 90s is no longer complete. It cannot prevent human health impacts from asbestos alone. We actually now have to cut the flow of new asbestos that's coming into the region. Otherwise, these projects we have of removing legacy waste will not achieve our goal, you know, of having an asbestos-free Pacific. No Pacific Island nation has an asbestos ban in place.
You also included Australia and New Zealand in the list of countries receiving products that still have asbestos in it.
That's
but
correct.
Are you suggesting that these areas are dumping grounds for materials that have asbestos?
No, I don't think they're dumping grounds. I think the Pacific is getting the same material that the entire world is. But now that many goods are manufactured in India, in China, in Malaysia, in many countries that do not have laws prohibiting their use, the Pacific is getting the same material as Australia and New Zealand. Now, I do think, yes, we are receiving it without knowing about it, because when asbestos was made in the 70s and 90s, people used it on purpose, and they actually advertised that the material contained it. Now, when we get it, we don't know. And so the asbestos sheeting that we discovered in Gizo in the Solomon Islands and also in Santo in Vanuatu, there was no identifying feature printed on it. There was no way the people importing it could be aware that it contained asbestos. It was only because we did analysis of that.
Could you just explain what happened? You found some products containing asbestos in Solomon Islands and Vanuatu.
In the survey, most of the surveys, what they're looking at was existing buildings. And in those existing buildings, you can visually tell asbestos roofing immediately. For wall materials, you can only tell by analysing it. And this is the same for new imported sheets of material that are going to be used for construction. Now, because the teams were in these islands already, I did ask them to take some samples from hardware stores for new imported material. And when they were sent off for analysis, they came back and showed that they had high levels of chrysotile, which is white asbestos. And we found that actually now on three occasions. Gizo Hospital, old Gizo Hospital, burnt down just recently. The Pack Waste Project assisted the government in doing a cleanup, and we again tested new weatherboard sheeting that was for sale in the hardware stores there, and again, it contains asbestos.
What are the health implications of the, well, first of all, of buildings where you don't know that it's contained and something like the fire that you talked about happens?
It's quite serious. While asbestos is bound within the cement matrix, within the roofing or the wall materials, it is safe. The problem is if it's disturbed. When there's a fire, the fire destroys the matrix which holds the fibres and they become released. They can become airborne then, and that's when they're dangerous, when they can be breathed into the lung, they lodge in the lung, and then that can cause mesothelioma and other lung cancers and lung diseases in 30 years. So it's very dangerous, and especially if you believe in new buildings, you no longer have asbestos, and you don't take these precautionary measures because of a disaster like this, or just in doing general sort of cutting and moving the material, people are at risk. They're uninformed, and so that's quite a problem. WHO states that there is 100,000 preventable deaths related to asbestos every year, and this is not going to decrease if we've got new forms of asbestos coming in, and we're under the false assumption that we're clearing asbestos legacy from the past, and we have no idea of the quantities that are coming in now.
It's obvious then the health, what will replace it? I mean, obviously it's a cheaper substance to manufacture. So what do they do instead of taking these products?
There are replacement materials, because what's happened is the asbestos has been added to absorb heat, and so that it reduces the amount of heat coming to a building, but also to add tensile strength to the materials. When James Hardie changed over its products in the late 90s and 2000s, they did have substitute materials, cellulose materials, which don't have these adverse characteristics that asbestos has. So it's not a case of viable substitutes and cost-effective substitutes being available. It's just a lack of preventative measures in using that as an ingredient in other countries.
And as well as calling for these products to be banned across the Pacific, would you also recommend that the countries implement an actual policy to prevent them coming in?
Yeah, I think right now there is nothing in Pacific Island nations that actually stop new asbestos from being lawfully used. There's also nothing in those countries that prevents reuse of existing asbestos. That's something else we found, where it had been removed and people were reusing it. So, I mean, if we go back to Pacific Island nations wanting to have an asbestos-free Pacific, we realise that it can no longer be achieved only through concentrating on the legacy items. That these new forms of asbestos, that political action has to be taken to both to raise awareness of it and both to give them statutory tools so they're able to say in contracts, for building contracts, for instance, that they can have a condition saying we want it certified to be asbestos-free, and that they actually then, in their legislation, put in elements to prevent it coming in. Only then are they truly going to reduce their asbestos load over time through projects like PacWaste. So PacWaste is looking at removing about $3 million worth of asbestos. Other projects are doing similar things, but this is not a very productive thing to do if we're bringing in new asbestos materials at the same time.